Welcome back to the Lantern Rouge Cycling Podcast with Benji Nyson. Our Team DSM Men's Team 2021 preview. Truly trying conditions for me. It's got to be 95% humidity. I've also have to shut the door because I can't have the sound of the outside world affecting the sound going into your precious ears. But I mean, I can't even see out of my sunglasses. They're fogged up. Doesn't matter because I've memorized the results of every single rider in the world tour in the last 5 years. But you know the drill. 2020 review, transfers, Cobble Classics team, Ardennes team, and Grand Tours, Giro, Tour de France, and Vuelta. But I got one thing I'd like to throw in before we get to the 2020 review, Benji, and I don't think we've really spoken about it now. I mean, when we did our reaction to it, we didn't have the full information. Did Mark Hirschi leaving Team DSM early? I'm not sure we've really closed that chapter off yet. What further information's come out, Benji? There's the no-talk settlement agreement and the fact that he's gone to UAE and his proposed salary. Do you have any of the what were the salary rumor details that you've seen?
Well, we've had a bit of a discussion about it on social media in the last couple of weeks because first, some newspaper in Belgium, or actually some newspaper in Switzerland, brought out that he or she would be riding at the minimum salary possible in World Tour at Sunweb, or at least was riding on that, and that he was moving towards a $1 million or $1.3 million deal or something at UAE. Now, some other newspapers since then have brought out different materials, so it's pretty much a guessing game at this point, and I'm unaware about an actual confirmed source, and I don't think we'll ever have that, considering it's pretty no-talk deal, like you mentioned. But what is clear is that DSM is obviously not going to offer as much money as UAE. That's going to play a role. Hirschi is able to earn in the million, and I'm pretty sure he's doing that right now at UAE, while he was never going to do that at DSM. So financially, it's definitely a good deal for him. That is very, very certain.
It makes no sense to me why they let him go still to this day. Okay, so he's unhappy. Manage it. Deal with it. I mean, he's under contract. Like, that's the point. You know, you take all these sort of long-shot deals with long deals with the young, talented riders, paying them 70, 80, and then a lot of them probably won't work out, and you're having to overpay them when they're really pro-Conti riders or not worked out at all. That's their real level, and then it's like venture capital. The good ones have to subsidize the bad ones that you've invested in. Now, I'd also like to say, who, Benji, the fuck was Mark Hirschi's agent when he signed that original deal?
Yeah.
I mean, what the hell? If that's true, getting paid five figures, what? Like, I know it's been good for him at Sunweb, like development-wise, but he won the World Champs under 23 road race. And did he have other good results when he was a youngster too? I mean, what else? He had Lavenir, not so great. Tour d'Alsace, good. European Championships under 23 road race, he won that too. I mean, he was good at Tour de Lens as well before it became a stacked race. Good at Liège, like 70K in his second or third year of that contract, meaning it might have even been 50 or 60 before then. He should have been on 150, 200 minimum. Do you think if you were an agent, you'd recommend your rider sign with DSM now because they'd get development opportunities?
It really depends on the deal, you know, but in that situation, if you've got someone
pay cut, I mean, and you have to take a 50% pay cut.
Okay. Let's say it's Hirschi that I'm agenting. Well, I would never let him sign that deal that he had if it's actually that much that low his salary that he had at DSM at the start. I also think that even with my very, very limited agenting capabilities, as in almost none, I would probably be able to get him more than what he had, if that is actually true. So I'm really surprised by these numbers. And I think it's kind of mad that they're even suggesting that that number would be true at the start, because they were saying, oh, he's at minimum salary, NeoPro salary in his first years, but there's no way he's at that number.
I can't.
If he was world champion,
I don't know. I can't believe it.
Yeah, so
that almost makes me not believe the story at all. Now,
yeah,
here's a scenario that I think could be the case. I've got no idea if it is. Okay, so they advise him to go to Sunweb. He's the style of rider that he is. Sunweb really suited him. We saw that last year. He is on a base, but if he hits a certain number of, you know, a monument podium or Grand Tour stage wins, if he hits certain thresholds, doesn't have to be like a Grand Tour or GC podium, but thresholds that he obviously, you know, might have hit last year. Say he hits them, there's a contractual trigger, which means his base jumps up to 250, 300. Say he's won a Tour de France stage win and then a monument podium, then base goes up to 250, 300, or they must renegotiate. And Sunweb or DSM, as they are now, just weren't willing to pay him. So in that sense, that would make sense to me because they've had to let him go when they had no incentive otherwise to let him go. And they had to because they were at risk of breaching the contract by not paying him the uplift that he'd triggered in the contract. And that's why he was able to leave, even though they technically had him on the books for another year. So that's one scenario which would make sense to me. Might not be that. Maybe they just didn't want to have someone who was unhappy on the team, and his agent done him a disservice by signing him to a five-figure, three-year, two-year deal, whatever it was, 3 years, I think. Anyway, that's the closing out on the Hirschi stuff. We'll talk about how he'll fit in with UAE on their preview podcast, but still very, very strange indeed. But on to their 2020 season, which was good. So I think definitely overperformed. They had 16 wins, 9 of them at World Tour level, 2 riders on a podium in a Grand Tour, Hindley and Kelderman at the Giro. Whether that is a positive or not, we'll talk about, Benji. Paris-Nice 2 stages, Tour de France 2 stages with Hirschi and Kra-Andersen. 3 stages, sorry, 2 Kra-Andersen and 1 Hirschi. Flesch with Hirschi. Should have had Liège. They were denied a monument by Alaphilippe, or I think he likely would have won. And Giro stage with Hindley as well, stage 18. And a few Herald Sun Tour stages and a Volta Algarve stage as well with Case Bolt. So it's still an overperforming season, Benji, despite a few question marks tactically along the way, right?
Yes, I believe it's an actual good season for the team. Like, before the season started, they would have signed to have these results for certain, because their riders that they have on their sheet are youngsters that must overperform to give these kind of results. And that's exactly what happened throughout 2020. You have Hirschi that bridged up towards the top of punching, pretty much. He's now one of the top 3 punchers in the world. And he was able to show that for the first time in the Tour de France as well. Their strategies for the Tour de France were pretty great. And eventually they ended up getting 3 stage wins there. So that's pretty amazing. Also the stage win with Hindley at the Giro, but that is obviously more encapsulated by the 2 guys on the podium. And honestly, looking at that, I also think they would have signed for 2 guys on a podium at the start of that Giro for certain. And perhaps at the end of the Giro, they were like, meh, that result is not exactly what we hoped for in the last week. But I believe that it's still a wonderful overperformance by the team that was at the start there. One rider that perhaps underperformed in that Giro and in some of the races along that would be, in my eyes, Michael Matthews. I also think that it's kind of the way the team set him up and was obviously focusing on their GC from like week 2 onwards towards the end of the Giro. And yeah, all in all, just the youngsters overperformed and they kept on performing throughout the season. Kasper Pedersen with Paris-Tours as well. So it shows that their development team works in a perfect manner. But like you mentioned, Hirschi left. A bunch of riders left when their contract were still on in the past. It's kind of feeling like a development team with a development team, which might be harsh to say, but sometimes I've got that feeling when it comes to the likes of Sunweb, because they've got so many youngsters and still so many youngsters that have the opportunities of pushing forward. And yeah, they've also got a development team after that with other youngsters that could push forward and also make it. But the moment that those youngsters become too good for Sunweb, or DSM at least, that's when they leave the team.
Yeah, I mean, I'm all for like structure and rigor and things like that, but not picking Michael Matthews for a race because he didn't do his homework is just stupid shit. I mean, like, I get it. Maybe that works in college football, but these are professional athletes. Treat them like adults, especially guys who've won the green jersey in the Tour de France. And maybe just talk to him instead and be like, hey, we really need you like to... So the younger guys, because it's important for the younger guys to do it who aren't as familiar with the race parkour, like just, you know, pretend like you have so that they get into it. It's a good habit for them. That's the sort of conversation on the side I'd expect to have if you're... That's the way I'd deal with it personally, rather than being like, oh, these are the rules, you're out of the race.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it reminds me, I think I might have mentioned this analogy before, it reminds me of Greg Popovich in the finals that San Antonio lost to LeBron, to the Heat, I think when he took Kawhi Leonard out in the finals in an important game for a defensive mishap to prove a point, because defense, you can't have lapses on defense despite Kawhi being there, probably the second most important player, maybe even the most important player. And it was just cutting off his nose despite his face, and it might have even cost him the series. So you shouldn't lose sight of the true goal, even though I do think what they're doing generally is quite admirable, and they don't get enough credit for winning with, well, they do now after last year, but they didn't, you know, they should get credit for winning with riders who aren't largely on massive deals. But that was their obviously overperformance, I think. Should they have won the Giro? I don't know. All I know is Jai Hindley won Jayco Herald's Son Tour GC, came second in the Giro. Seb Bowett came second in Herald's Son Tour GC. 2 + 2 = 3. Therefore, Seb Berwick will come third in the Vuelta GC this year. On to their transfers. Out. Big names. Matthews, Kelderman, Sam Ehrman, Robert Power. We mentioned Ehrman a little bit on the Jumbo Visma podcast. We think he's actually going to be quite helpful for Jumbo Visma this year. Yes. I think he's still a good rider. Kelderman, unfortunately, had that crash already. Matthews back to a team bike exchange. Robert Power to Quebec Assos. That makes sense. I wouldn't have kept him either. But what do you think about this theory, Benji? Oh, and here she's out as well. How could we forget? Do you think Romain Bardet can make up for all the results that he or she might have provided in 2021?
No, of course not. I think that he or she is going to provide... Of course not. Like,
I don't know.
He or she is on his way to become one of the best punchers in the world, which he already is. So he can literally win like 50% of the races he rides.
Nah.
And Bardet can win like 1 out of 50 that he rides. So no way that Bardet is making the same results that he or she would. Hands down.
I don't know. I think there is a world in which that he or she maybe doesn't have as good a season this year as he did last year. And Bardet in the Sunweb system is a different rider who gets more opportunities, has better teammates in the one day races, and I think he's a really class one day racer. So you saw if France had ridden for him in the 2018 World Championships instead of Alaphilippe, maybe he wins that race instead of Valverde. So I think there is a world in which Bardet fills that gap.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's not this world.
If she regresses a little bit, Bardet goes back to 2017 level. I think it's possible, especially if maybe he or she, we don't know what he's going to do at UAE yet. That being said, I still don't agree with them letting him go. Why not have both? Like, that's the idea. Matthews leaving, that had to happen. Matthews wasn't happy there. I think it's a good decision for him to leave. They didn't want to ride for him. They've got Eckhoff there as well, and they probably didn't want to pay him. So they didn't want to give him team leadership either. You got to, like I said on the EF Education Nippo podcast, when you have a system, you got to stick with the difficult transfer decisions and not overpay riders. Otherwise, the system of underpaying for overperforming results with younger riders, it breaks down. But so do you think you see those transfers out, Benji? You got any thoughts on them? They're going to really miss any of those riders. Do you think they should have kept Ehrman around because he wouldn't have been commanding a massive salary?
Oh, I don't know. I don't think these riders in this team would have had the future that they will have in their other teams. I think they were kind of on a chain here. And the transfer might unchain them a bit, while it gives Sunweb the option of looking more at their youngsters once again and trying out the tactics that were at the Tour de France instead of focusing on a rider that is so-called leader for a race, but then might underperform. So I think their strategy for the Tour de France is what works really well, and that they'll likely try and do so on more than one Grand Tour this year.
Yeah, I think it just doesn't really fit with what they were doing, having Ehrman around. You probably wanted leadership. But anyway, they're riders that they've come in. Romain Bardet from Agile Desire Le Mondial. Marco Brenner from the Bora development team, the bio team in Bavaria. They nicked him. Great signing. I covered that on my channel when it happened. Leknesund, very talented TT rider from Uno X, Norwegian. Nicholas Merkel from the Sunweb development team. Not too
brother of Angela.
Pardon?
Brother of Angela. Okay, sorry.
They're spelled differently, so that joke doesn't work. Romain Comberg from Nippo Delco, One Provence, and Kevin Vermaeker from Hagens Berman Axion, who seem to just continually produce very, very solid riders. I do know that I think Merkel's going out with Liana Lippert, so that's just a bit of trivia for all of you. I'm trying to look at, okay, so Vermaeker won Liège, best on Liège, under 23 in 2019. So obviously he's going to just be Mark Hirschi this year, so it's not a problem at all for Sunweb. But seriously now, what do you think is the role or the plans for those riders? And do you see any one of them really overperforming Benji? I think Leknesund's going to be really good.
I think so as well. I think that, well, the obvious transfer that everybody's looking at once they saw Evenepoel pop out of the youngster categories into World Tour was also Simmons on Trek, but mainly Marco Brenner. We are very hyped to see what he does in World Tour. I'm pretty sure that goes for many cycling fans that have followed his career so far. The man's a beast, and I hope he can push that forward into World Tour as well. Andreas Leknesund, yes, time trialist, very, very decent. And also, next to that, he's also a pretty good climber. So I could see him focusing on perhaps getting opportunities in Tour de Suisse, something like that, a one-week race, have an opportunity there to try and see what he can do on that level. Niklas Merkel and Combo, I don't really have a feeling on. I have no clue what they can do well and do bad. So I guess that's something we'll see throughout the season itself. For Marco, I recall him doing well at LBL U23 in the past.
Yeah, he won it.
And okay, yeah. That makes sense then. And Romain Bardet, yeah, that's a good transfer. I disagree with the fact that he's going to replace Hirschi, but I completely agree that it's a good transfer for both Sunweb or DSM at this point. I'm still going to make that mistake for like another year. We all know that. But it's also a good transfer for Bardet because he's free of that French pressure on his shoulders every single time he starts at a race. And he's also kind of freeing Agesser from the curse of having to go for Bardet every single time. So I think it's good for all parties involved, this transfer.
Leknesund is really, really good. Eighth in Baby Lombardia, two stages in the GC, Giro della Regione, Friuli, Venezia, Giulia. 13th in the World Champs ITT. He's about 6'2", I think, 6'1". He got some Norwegian one-day races, won two races. He won the European Under-23 Champs, ITT. He looks like a very serious rider. And
yep,
I think he's going to fit very, very nicely alongside Kasper Pedersen, Soren Kram Andersen, and Tejs Benoot. I think that's going to be nasty in some one-day
races. It's been a while that we've seen a Norwegian GC rider at the top of cycling, and I believe that this rider could actually become relatively near the top in the future. He's only 21, so I believe.
Second in Ronde Lizard in 2019, behind Bagioli, ahead of Champoussin and Schelling and a few other quality riders. He does seem very, very good, but also good in the one-day races. And I think he came fourth in that Slovakian 2-1 race from memory. That had Bora there as well, and Sunweb proper. Yeah, he did. So he seems very versatile. He seems like a Bing Bank Tour GC man to me, as well as any sort of 1-week race. I just really like him, and I think he's going to fit well with their team, and he's just a fantastic signing. Now on to their cobbled classics team, Benji. And I think Strada is clearly Tej Benoit and Bardet as leaders, so that's slightly different. But cobbled classics, Eckhoff, Nico Denz, Case Bol, Nikias Arndt, Søren Kragerup, Kasper Pedersen. Do you take Leknessen, Benji, or you don't? Is that not where you don't see him as a cobble guy? You see him more as like a tall GC rider.
I see him as a GC rider with the capabilities of getting like a top 35 in his first LBL, stuff like that. I think that sending him to the cobbles might not be the races that you want to send him to in his first year, at least. I just see him more growing out in those other terrains. But yeah, you're right. I think Eckhoff is there. One of their spearmen in the cobble races in this year, because quite simply, I believe that he and Søren Kragerup are very capable of being near the front in the cobble races. I think Eckhoff rode pretty well at that Bing Bang Tour, but then flopped in the final cobble stage. So that was a bit surprising. But all in all, I do very much... Oh, wait a second. It wasn't that where Søren Kragerup had technical difficulties, or was that party tour? I don't know anymore. Anyway, I think that those two are definitely up there as the spearheaded force of their team. Where would you send Marco Brenner to? Because I would send him to the cobble races.
No, I don't think
so.
No. He's very small. He's very small. Okay. He's 18, and he's... Yeah, very skinny. He's got good power, good TT, yeah. But Ardennes seems to, that's his jam, I think. Well, watching his races, like, what was the race in 2019 he did? Giro della Lunigiana, the stages he won there. It was, yeah. He attacked on climbs.
I recall a good result, though, somewhere in a junior Paris-Roubaix, but 2019 likely? 16th. Wow. It's not amazing either, but... It does show that he can ride cobbles for the future, at least.
16th at Junior Paris-Roubaix when you're like a top junior, I think is not indicative of too much.
That's true.
One under 23 Paris-Roubaix. He came second in Duales Tour ahead Hageland behind Jonas Rickert last year. And I think he came seventh in Britannia Classic. He was instrumental in the Matthews win. He just dominated last kilometer. Really impressive ride. And I think, as you say, Benji, he's in that cobbled team. It's a really nice team, isn't it? It's not like you know, teams where there's clearly like Bora, where you got Sagan, Pollitt leaders, and then Oss and Co helping. It's all of them, even Max Kanter, all of them could really be leaders in attack. And I guess that's the DSM system. But do you really think any of them are good enough to make the select group in Omloop, in Kerner, in Gent-Wevelgem, in Tour of Flanders or Paris-Roubaix?
Not consistently, so not every single time, but I do believe that Søren Kragerup can make that split. Niels Eckhoff perhaps in the future. I believe that they can make that split on certain occasions, but if Van Aert and Van der Poel go, then it's going to be really tough as well. So, yeah, it's a bit of a perhaps for me. But you've also got plain riders that could go for that early attack with a smaller group like Joris Nieuwenhuis. I think he was top 30 at RVV or something in 2020, 30-fat. So could definitely fit in that team as well. So, yeah, it's a strong team to support their two riders that they should push forward in these races. And I think they can definitely top 10. Cobble races, I think they could top 5 some cobble races, but they're going to have to be lucky when it comes to everything falling in the right place to have a victory in the cobble season. Unless Søren Kragerup can do it in the same way that Valgren did in Omloop a few years ago, in the same way that he did it in the Tour de France last year. That is, small group is left over, and right away in the final kilometer or 2 kilometers from that group in the same way that he did in the Tour de France. And like I mentioned, Valgren a few years ago in Amelot.
What about Case Bol? Now, I was a bit low on him when I did that betting preview for the Tour de France, saying, oh, I don't really rate his hill climbing ability. The Dutch fans got very annoyed about that, and they said, actually, he's quite good on short hills if you look closely at his previous results. But 2020 wasn't a great season for him. There was a second in a stage at the Tour de France and a third as well, but he didn't. He got one win, which was stage three at Volta a l'Algarve before the lockdown. But what I'm really not seeing from him, Benji, is capability at the top level in the sprinters Belgian classics. Kerner 33rd, Gent Wevelgem 21st, Shell de Prijs 59th, DNF Flanders. I know maybe there's some crashes, technicals in there, etc., that I'm not accounting for, but still it's not good results either. And I still think he's going to be in their team for those races. He's only 25. He's 194 centimeters and over 80 kilos. That should be his jam. But yeah, do you see Case Bol popping out of nowhere and with Echhoff leading him out, winning Gent Wevelgem in a sprint or Kerner?
I believe he can top five it, but it really depends on how it's ridden. We've seen Gent Wevelgem ridden in two occasions. First of all, you've got the occasion like last year where a smaller group gets over the hills, over the Kemmelberg, and after the Kemmelberg, that group is far away enough to sustain their lead on the peloton. Sometimes we've got the fact that that peloton is blatantly catching up with the front group, and if that occasion happens again, then he's got the possibility, because I think last year he was third or something in the sprint in that peloton group. So yeah, it depends on how the race is ridden. I believe that when it comes to the pure cobbles, he cannot get over it with the best. So he needs that flat section after those cobbles to make it back. And that's where the other riders in his team come in, because the other riders in his team, like Søren Kragh-Andersen and an Eekhoff, can have that attack on the cobbles and be with the front guys. And that might put Case Bol in a seat, but that also kind of counters Case Bol, because if he's at the back and those others are in the front, then he can't pace himself back with other teammates that are still there. And he eventually has to kind of hope that the other teams will bring him back for him to make a chance. But to be honest, if his teammates are in the front, he'll obviously support their victory as well if that happens.
Moving on now to their Ardennes team, I think it's difficult. Nicolas Roche, probably, yeah, he'll be in that team. Romain Bardet, Timon Arensman, who else, Benji? Chris Hamilton, maybe? Depends whether he's doing the Giro. It all depends on the Giro, right?
I'd say Elon van Welder would be in that team.
Okay.
Got a top 50 or something.
Leknesund.
In LBL. So, what, sorry?
Leknesund.
Yep, I would fit him in that team as well. I'm not overly certain about Kevin Vermaerke yet. It's still his first year, but if a guy has U23 victory, why not indeed? It's not like they've got so many riders to put in here. They lost Hirschi, so.
Teish Benoot.
Oh yeah, forgot about him. He's Belgian. How did I do that?
Yeah, I mean,
He came eighth in
Liège. I mean, he's a tough one, right? Because it looks like they're going to send him to he looks like he's going to be a busy man, and he's going to do Omloop, Strava,
everything,
Gerner, Paris-Nice, all the golf classics up to Roubaix, and then surely they have to send him to the Ardennes as well. So he ain't doing the Giro, and then I would send it. Obviously, I think the Tour suits him more anyway. All of Welter, so he's going to be a very busy man in the first half of the year. Wow. But that makes, yeah, Benoot, Bardet, the strongest. Send Brenner and co to blood them for the race. Maybe Chris Hamilton, depending on how it goes. And what about Benji? For a press that likes to hype up their young riders, this man gets no hype. Mark Donovan, British 21-year-old on DSM. I really liked what I saw from him in the Vuelta last year.
Yes.
Came fourth on that stage. I think he could be quite a good one day at Hilly Classic Racer.
I dare to say yes, but then his results didn't really show it. I think he got 80 for something last year in those races. He could be part of that team, I suppose, but we've named quite a few riders that can do so. So I think his overall focus is that he wants to focus more on one-week stage race stuff. He looks to be heading to La Provence. So, yeah, I don't know who their leader will be there. Probably Bardet, because Mont Ventoux, French, Bardet. It's simple math. But, yeah, I think that from Mark Donovan so far, we've seen breakaway stuff and not much else. So I wouldn't overhype him either. I believe in his capabilities, but I believe they've got better options for the puncher races.
Giro, I think, I don't know. Do you send? I think you have to send Hindley again, right? Hindley and Hamilton, because Hindley TT ain't great. So it's yes. He's got to go to the Giro once again with, I think, the same sort of crew as last year. And then go stage hunting in the Tour once again. So who would that be? Benji Dens, Hindley, Hamilton. Who else did they take?
Storer, perhaps?
Storer, Florian Storck, Martin Salmon, Nicholas Roche. Roche probably would go to the Tour de France as an experienced rider, I would expect.
Chad Hager, he usually goes to the Giro. But he's also pretty good at time trials, so perhaps the Tour de France would fit in more. But then again, would he fit in the team in the Tour de France? I'm not overly certain if they want to spend an extra spot just for him, because likely in the Tour de France, you'll also have the entire sprint train for Case Bol, because we cannot forget last year that the Case Bol train was absolutely great, but he just couldn't finish it off in the end.
Yeah, that's true. And okay, so that's their Giro team and their Giro leaders. Moving now to their Tour team, Bardet, I would send Tejs Benoot, Case Bol once again. I think, I mean, you have to keep committing to him. Who else? Leknesund, I don't know, it depends.
Got Andersen for the train of Case Bol. You've got Kasper Pedersen for that same train.
Yep.
Yeah, those are also like, they've got the pure benefit that the riders they sent to the Tour de France for the Case Bol train are pretty much very overlapping with the riders you would send to go for stages. And that's a real benefit. Niki Elsand, I think that's part of the train as well, but I don't know them by heart anymore. Yeah, that's just a powerful team. Yeah.
Niki Elsand is. And, you know, even it's the small things that you don't really see and you take for granted. And it's when you see Esteban Chavez, when he's trying to go for stages. And we say it on the podcast all the time, just go for stages. Oh, why don't you just go for stages? Like, it's the easiest thing in the world to get in the Grand Tour break day in, day out. and you just went to Esteban Chavez trying and failing like 3 days in a row to even get in the break for the day. You're like, oh, maybe it's not just as simple as pressing the I want to go on the break button, and then you're suddenly in the break. Where you go to the Tour, you see Kasper Pedersen putting Krah Andersen and co. and Hirschi on his wheel when the break's already gone, and bridging them across in the middle of the stage, and getting him and Nikias Arndt getting their riders into brakes, having engines on the flat perfectly designed to bridge them across to move so they're not blowing up right at the beginning of the stage. And that's something that often we don't see. You see it in the Tour if you watch closely, because we have start-to-finish coverage. But, yeah, it's a really interesting part of cycling that is something that the DS are probably thinking about all the time. That being said, it'll be, I think, a fine balance again between stages for the sort of the quote-unquote hunters and sprinter Case Bol. What about Bardet, Benji? A, do you think he's got a chance on Moto Britannia? And B, do you think they are just telling him to just be relaxed and go for stages, etc., rather than actually going for GC?
I do not believe he's got a chance on Moto Britannia. I believe he should go for stages. You disagree?
Disagree.
How violent of you.
I threw something too. Man. Do you think he's going for stages?
I believe he should go for stages to relieve himself of that French pressure, and also because he can genuinely win them if he goes in the breakaway. Could he do GC? Sure. But why would Bardet be willing to choose a top 10 position over two stage wins, for example. Just do a Yates, like in that Vuelta or Giro at some point, where he just simply went for stages and he won them, basically.
So in 2015, on the Moto Britannia, he came 34th and lost 25 seconds to Dan Martin and 20 seconds to Froome and co. So that's not too good. And then the one Dan Martin won, I'm trying to check. For some reason, I thought he was okay. Moto Britannia, I don't know why I thought that. And I'm now regretting it. He came... Oh, God, he's not in there in the top 10, is he?
He's even in the race that year.
33rd. He only lost 30 seconds. All right, so Benji's right. I'm wrong for once. Okay. So he's not winning.
Always.
Well, it looks like he's probably going to prove me wrong now that I've doubted him. All right. But, yeah, I agree with what you said in principle about going for stages, et cetera. Vuelta team, I think same. I actually think Timon Arensman is a man who they might send
to yes.
the tour. They might send him to the tour, actually, and do the Tour of Vuelta double.
Really?
Keeps improving, yeah.
Oh, the double.
Well, I think
I kind of believe that.
He's really good. I think he's really, really good.
I think that when it comes to the Vuelta parcours, it really fits him because we've already mentioned it. He's got that feeling of being between a climber and a puncher. We saw in those stages Wellens won. I think the first one Wellens won, that Arensman played a big role in the stage himself and tried an early attack instead of waiting till the end of that hill. And if he waited till the end of that hill with that same punch, might have been pretty close. So I think self-confidence is what he needs to work on to try and wait with that attack until it's the right moment. Perhaps that's due to experience and he'll learn that along the way, which is pretty normal, I guess, when you're such a young rider on a bike. But I believe in him. I also think he's had a shitty year in the past. I don't know which year, but he had an injury at some point in his career that pulled him back a bit and is the reason why he is now a year older in World Tour, whilst he was likely already able to join that a year earlier than last year. But yeah, in the end, I believe in Arensman being able to take home a Vuelta stage if he's at the Vuelta. And I think we'll see a lot more of him in the future.
Do you send Bardet to the Vuelta too? Does he do the Vuelta double? He's only done one Vuelta. I mean, I think he'd be pretty good at the Vuelta too.
Why not?
Yeah, why not? But Tadej Pinot's probably going to be a shell of a human by that point, so maybe not him. Case Bowl, I mean, if you really want to win stage with the Case Bowl, the Vuelta probably would be the better option than the Tour, but I think he's still capable of snagging a stage of the Tour. He showed that last year that he could win one.
Well, but if we send Case Bowl everywhere, then Dainese has to ride the Giro, you know?
Well, yeah, he probably will, but I don't believe in Dainese. I don't believe in him, so... No, that's it.
I believe he's better than Groves.
No, that's not right. Well, maybe but I don't really. I mean, that's not a hill I'm willing to die. Like, I really care to die on.
Yeah, same. Like, I don't really care either.
Marco Brenner, it seems like the Vuelta is a good option for him there.
Yes.
I mean, we say it every podcast. Just the youngest rider on the team has to go.
Leknesund. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Leknesund, I don't know. I feel like the Tour suits him so much more.
Yeah. It does, but he won't go for GC anyway, so does it matter?
I know, he's Baby Dumoulin. That's who he is, right? Leknesund is Baby
Dumoulin. Norwegian Baby Dumoulin.
So, yeah, Tour would suit him. But, yeah, I mean, I'd expect them to Max Kanter or Ekhoff winning a sprint stage in the Vuelta, something crazy like that, wouldn't surprise me either. But it's still, I think it's a really fun team, to be honest. I mean, before we get into the hot takes and the predictions, Benji, I think it's a really fun team. I really like the way they've assembled it. Obviously, like, we're speculating on their budgets. I presume that the salaries are in the lowest half of the World Tour based on how young they are, although I don't know what they paid for Bardet or his salary is. But, I mean, 31 riders there. I don't know how many of them would be earning over 100,000 compared to other teams. So,
five max.
Like, Bardet obviously is, and Benoit should be, etc. But, yeah, it's It's really well assembled. I really like the purpose of it, how it works in Cobble Classics, stage hunting. They've got a sprinter who is capable of winning Grand Tour sprint stages. That is important, and some teams don't have that. But that being said, one question mark is Hindley at the Giro, Benji. Do they throw aside going for stages, and or are they going to be committed to Hindley and GC again? Is Hindley fact or fiction?
What the hell is that? I've never heard the term fact or fiction in my life.
Is Jai Hindley real?
I believe he's real. I saw him on television, so but no, jokes aside, I believe in Jai Hindley being a proper GC rider. We saw him grow throughout the years. It was not that it was like, bam, he's there, but it was obviously a proper leap to get to the level that he was at the Giro. I believe he can ride GC. I believe they should focus on that. He's young enough. He's proven to have a Giro podium. He deserves a team surrounding him in the mountains. Does that mean that they need to send the entire team focused on Hindley? No. Do it in a similar fashion as last time, where you've got riders that can go for their own stuff. But when it falls into place and when you fall into a podium at some point during the Giro, then you've got to specify, okay, now we have to ride for him because we can actually pull this off. So I think it's a bit of that combo, like they did last year with Matthews at the start, focus on him first. Then they tried to do other stuff in breakaways. But in the end, it all came down to Kelderman and Hindley in the last weeks.
Yeah, I think they have to send him to the Giro and they have to let him ride fully for GC. I don't think he can't really do anything else. That's who he is. And he did well in Polonia in 2019. He finished in a group on a climb with Sivakov on a hilly day with Sivakov and Jonas Vingegaard. So I think he's not fiction. I think he's, but whether he's really at the level of Buchmann Lander, that remains to be seen. Like, do you think he's going to be able to hang with Lander, Buchmann, and Co. next in the Giro?
Perhaps. I can't specify that. I was like, it's just a ballpark guess, but I think if he rides it at the way he wrote the Giro, his numbers should be good enough. So on paper, I'd say yes.
Yeah, I think he might go all right again, actually. But we'll see. On to over-unders, Benji. They had 16 wins in 2020. They had, how many? Only nine in 2019. And that was only with one Grand Tour stage. And in 2018, they had 11 as well with only two Grand Tour stages. So considering the number of races cancelled last year, a massive improvement with 16 wins. Over-under 15 wins, Benji.
Under. I think they're going to get like 10 or something. I think their main spear point was Hirschi. He could win a lot. He's not there anymore. I do believe they've got opportunities, but it's kind of, they had a chessboard at the start of last season. This chessboard was at the start and they made a ton of moves. Now, they lost their best riders who made quite a significant number of those moves. Kelderman involved, Hirschi involved, but Hindley is still there. So you've got a tiny bit of your chessboard left and all the rest is back to the start. And now they got to figure out to make that same stuff happen with the other youngsters on their team. And I don't believe that in 2021, we'll see someone move up in the same way Mark Hirschi did in last year. And therefore, I don't believe in as many victories as last year.
Don't understand the chess analogy. I'm taking the over. He or she only won two races last year. And yeah, I think they're going to win over 10 easily. And I think they're going to win a stage in each Grand Tour. That's my first hot take. My other hot takes are that I think Romain Bardet, I don't know. I'm in 2 months. I actually don't know about Bardet. He could either be so bad and it's just a massive downward spiral, or this is the best thing that ever happened to him. He changes nutritionist, changes training staff, etc., and it's like, oh my god, he's back to like top level. I don't know. Soren Krogh Andersen as well. I think he's not just an opportunistic rider who got lucky at a few stages. I think he's a top guy. in a variety of terrain, including like Big Bank Tour, etc. Wouldn't surprise me if he won another stage there and a few other races. Case Bowl, I think he's going to fill in a couple of wins at least if he gets it right. Tash Benoot, perennially unlucky. You know, Tash Benoot, Benji's only won three races.
Yep.
Like, I think that will change and that will turn around and he'll start. I think they'll start winning more. Riders like Arensman will be winning races. Leknessen, maybe not, but Arensman might win something here or there. So I'm going the over, bullish on them. And, oh, sorry, my other hot take is... Or, I don't know, do you have any, Benji? I think
I'm going to say that Leknessund will top five to the Swiss. I believe Barco fits him. The only thing that I'm not sure about is whether he's going to get selected for it or not.
That's flaming hot. I mean, I think if he doesn't get selected for it, then if he's top five's a 1 week world tour level stage race, we still got to give Benji credit for that.
Okay.
But it counts if he doesn't get picked. But yeah, that's a mad call. But credit to you for it. Who else? I think. Imagine if Nico Roche won a Grand Tour stage. That would be. I'd love to see that. A 39.
To be fair, at this point, it wouldn't surprise me. His career has been long enough. He's been able to do it for years, so it wouldn't surprise me if this year it would be suddenly back at that level. I kind of see it happen if it all folds right. Then it's possible. But the problem is when he's in a breakaway, he's likely to break away with someone that is better than him at some point. Because, yeah, Grand Tour breakaways, 20 people at this point, so will be tough.
Yeah, so I think a win in each of the Grand Tours and also I think they're going to win a 1 week World Tour level stage race GC as well. I don't know where, but I think they're going to. And I don't know who from. Could be Bardet. Could break the French drought, Benji.
Hindley at UAE?
Pardon?
Does he go there? Would Hindley be able to win UAE?
Oh,
he's not going there, but I think he should.
UAE, I was like, no, that was Hershey. I don't know. I don't think so. I think Hindley needs a Grand Tour. I think he's needs something like the Giro. Yeah. I don't think UAE would suit him too much. But he didn't do well last year, I don't think. I think he lost a lot of time on Jebel Hafit. So, but maybe he's improved since then. I don't know. Maybe he was tired after Herald Sun Tour. It was the end of after his peak. But that's our, unless you've got any more hot takes, Benji, that's been our Team DSM preview. I think Benji and I differ quite a bit on the loss of Hirschi and the prospects of this team. I think they'll replicate largely what we saw last year, maybe not sort of at the pointy end of Flesh and Liège, but I think we're going to keep seeing the same sort of wins, and there's going to be improvement from other of these young riders that they have on this team that aren't big names yet. I just don't know which exactly, but if you throw enough darts at the wall, you'll eventually hit a bullseye. That's been all from us, and we'll see you in the next one. Ciao.